All right, we're just gonna get started here. we're talking about social media influencers and teacher influencers today, and I'm Sophie.
I'm Emma.
I'm Adriana.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Megan.
And for the first bit, we're just gonna talk about each a point of ours and just kind of go through it of what we saw from our research and stuff, and then we're gonna go into like a few questions. The first thing that I saw was just like seeing teacher influences and stuff and seeing that they can like make money actually from their thing, so that can be useful for them because they can like start brand deals and such. And with those brand deals, they might get more resources for their classroom, say like, I don't know, like pencil sharpeners or something, or you get gifted that or something, so you can use that, and then you can actually make more money, which might be nice for teachers who aren't necessarily making the most money. But as long as you're not like keeping or not showing your kids in any videos or anything at all, but you're using those brand deals to boost your classroom and stuff as well, I think is cool.
And so I tried to research the benefits and potential concerns of teacher influencers. One main point that I really like is that teachers can find their a community online to share and make connections with each other. And one main concern I found was regarding privacy, and so just making sure that you are talking to administration and going about that in a good way.
Okay, one of I'll just start off with a more general point is that teacher Instagram and TikTok influencers share so many positive experiences and they have so much great advice and like ideas for lessons and different resources, and seeing teacher influencers out in the wild of YouTube and Instagram is one of the things that caused me to start being more and more interested in being a teacher. And I was like, oh, that looks interesting. I think I could actually do this. I think I want to do this. But then what I ended up researching, because I've had such a positive experience of my own with this, is seeing, I wanted to look at the more negative aspect of it, because there's also a big trend online of teacher quit talk. And so people are, instead of sharing positive things, they're also using it as a platform to give voice to teachers who maybe work in more unfavorable circumstances and don't have a platform to like advocate for resources they need and stuff like that. But yeah.
And I got to thinking through my research. I didn't know a lot about teacher influencers before. I hadn't been following any. So in my looking at it, what I got to thinking about pretty quickly was just kind of definitional things of like an influencer, like what it means to be an influencer and a teacher. Because there's a lot of people who would, I think, probably fall under this category. Who might be former teachers, and some have, and some might be current teachers. Some are going like totally all in on the influencer thing. Like, this is what I do now. Support me on Patreon. This is my full-time gig, and I wrote a book, and this is where I exist on this online platform. And others are just like, maybe they wrote a book. They have some interesting ideas. They're also like very much a regular teacher, but they go on an occasional podcast, so they don't have like. And the like the amount of followers varies a lot of people I can like relatively quickly find. So they're searchable, they're findable, they're not they don't exist. It's not like they don't exist. There's somebody on there, but there's great variation in terms of like how hard they're going or how many followers they have or how many platforms they're on or how regularly they're posting. And yeah, so there's a lot of different kind of like lifestyles I think that could fit into this category. So that was interesting to see the variety.
Yeah, so similar to what others have said, I feel like I looked to TikTok a lot. I feel like a lot of the influencers that I see are either just like really cute classrooms in the way that teachers set up their classrooms, really colorful and really, I guess, kind of attractive for kids, but also just like funny videos, like day in the life of the things that kids say. But then I guess just my take from that is like, in regards to rights, like, how does that work? And, like, making sure that even if you're not using, like, a kid's name or a kid's face, there are maybe some, like, factors that people would be able to say, like, oh, I know this kid, I know who this is. So I looked up an article. It's called Finding Me in Social Media. Get it? So I just found this quote that is kind of, yeah, it just makes me reflect a little bit. It says, from intellectual property to contracts to data privacy, social media platforms are intimately intertwined with the law. Thus, this, of course, is designed as Know Your Rights Primer, equipping students with the skills and knowledge necessary to use social media responsibly in both personal and professional contexts. As this course explores students' individual rights, it challenges them to understand how social media impacts broader questions of law, communication, and policy. Ultimately, this course teaches students to dissect the complex relationship between social media and law. Doing so will help them to understand an online world better that many believe they've already mastered and will empower them to think twice before they click once. And then I also thought about this podcast of, I think it's about like five or six teachers. I cannot remember what it's called. But there was this huge controversy because all these teachers just kind of get together and like talk about just, yeah, the crazy things that they encounter in their classrooms. sorry, I'm sick. But there was, I guess, a student that had a disability, and they were, like, openly just ridiculing this student on this podcast. And, of course, it was brought to the parents' attention. The parents knew exactly who their kid was and who was being referenced, and it turned into this whole – I don't know if it's a lawsuit, but the podcast pretty much got canceled. All these teachers, I think, either were disciplined or fired – which I think that is rightful action. And so, yeah, just in regards to, I guess, being ethical, just trying our best. I mean, we're all people. We want to, you know, share our experiences and stuff, but just trying our best to honor our students and make sure that, yeah, privacy is kept on both ends. So,
Yeah. I totally agree with all that stuff, and I just think that it's such a, like, you have to use, if you're going to use it, like, use this platform for good, and, like, if you want to do this, like, you're showing your experience with other people and stuff, but you're not showing, like, kids or, like, exploiting them or something like that, and, yeah, there's a lot of controversy on it, but I think it can be really useful if you use it kind of in the right way. Okay, we're going to move on to some questions.
Yes. Before that, I think setting, like, personal boundaries, so having, like, a separate, like, work account, obviously, then a personal account, and making sure that's separate.
Be separate.
What Megan is talking about is just, that sounds like that teacher doesn't have a lot of respect for their student as a person.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, you have to have even more of on social media and protect kids who aren't asking to be on social media and protect their identity. But in cases like that, that's just, like, a lack of respect on human level, which is awful. And I guess gets amplified on social media sometimes.
I feel similarly, and a thing that brings up for me even stronger, well, maybe just because I've seen more of it, stronger feelings, is the, like, parents who have their kids are on, like, YouTube or whatever, or on their TikToks, and or they're talking about their kids, and it's like, it can be real weird when it's like you're putting your kid on blast on social media.
And I think that, like, the whole point of teacher influencer, I think, like, you shouldn't even use your kids at all. I think, honestly, like, it's like, okay, like, sure, what are you, but it's, it's like you're learning from the teachers and what they're using as their resources to teach their kids, but it literally has nothing to do with their kids. Like, I don't need to know who's in your class or what's going on. I just want to know how you taught fractions in a certain way or something. I think there's, like, a boundary there too, that you don't even need to discuss your kids at all. Like, that's just not even a thing you have to go towards, and just kind of doing it that way.
I think it's a huge attraction, though, because a lot of teaching is making those connections with individual students, like getting to know them, who they are, and then connecting with them. And that would be something I'd be excited about. You know, talking about, at least anonymously and carefully, but still, I think that'd be something I'd be looking for from it, to really tell me about how you're connecting with the kid.
Well, and that's even, like, just now I was looking on my phone, and one of the influencers I follow posted, like, an Instagram story, and she was so happy she was crying because one of her kids, she said, who couldn't read many sight words at the beginning of the year, just spelled, like, a big word. It was, like, strumming or something.
Yeah.
And so stuff like that would be really sweet to share, and you'd want to share that.
Yeah.
But it is hard to find where to draw the line. Because obviously that kid's parent is going to know
who it is. Yeah, that it was exactly. Stuff, so,
yeah, just being super mindful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, do we want to answer some questions?
Okay, some questions. So what are some of the most common social media platforms that teacher influencers use that you guys have seen?
I think I definitely see the most on TikTok and stuff, which are then brought on, like, on Reels and stuff, like on Instagram and stuff. But, yeah, they're usually just kind of, like, a minute-long video. Or sometimes they're showing, like, on YouTube a full video of how to teach something or whatever. But, yeah, I think the biggest thing that I see is definitely from TikTok. I don't know about everybody
else. I think earlier, like, a few years ago, I was really seeing them on YouTube and, like, long-form content kind of in, like, showing classroom setup and, like, day in the life. And then a lot of those people then have transitioned onto TikTok and more, like, Instagram and stuff.
For sure.
TikTok primarily. But I also have a family friend who... I don't think she would consider herself an influencer. I don't think I would. But she is my mom's friend. And so they love Facebook. That's their jam. And so sometimes what she'll do is she'll go on Facebook and like reenact a conversation that she's had with a student. She teaches middle school. And if I could pick one person on the planet to teach middle school, it would be this person. She, I feel like, is a good balance of being like stern, but also just so real with her students. And so some of the things that, some of the conversations that she reenacts is actually crazy and hilarious. And although I love it and I think it's funny, even then I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, you know, if that student were to see it or if they're their parents are friends with her or something like that, I think that they could definitely say like, oh, I said that, or like if someone like, oh, like I don't want my parents to find out that I said that to my teacher or that I drew this in a textbook or whatever.
I almost feel like it's kind of, that's hard with middle school too, like, because those kids are older and obviously like that's more of a conversation and like that could be more personal, whereas I follow this one guy. I can't remember what his name is. His first name is Luke, and he's Australian and a kindergarten teacher. And he always says like funny little words and like misspellings and stuff, which I feel like is a little more respectful of those boundaries because those are just like single words and it's not a full detailed conversation.
That's true.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know, but maybe that's ageist, like to little kids, because they still, I don't know, maybe they wouldn't want their silly stuff shared.
It's also, it's not as common anymore, I think, because of conversations about, like, ethical boundaries and rights and stuff, but a couple years ago, I feel like it was big for teachers to share, like, video compilations of the artwork that their students make, or even just, like, the student's spelling, and although, it, like, back then, I would have thought it was so funny, like, now, like, that is so, like... as a parent, as you know, as someone who knows this kid, like, and it would have their name on it too, like it's like signed by this kid, and so it's like, you know, probably not okay. And I remember even like back then, like looking at these videos and laughing, but then like looking in the comments and seeing some people like, not the first three were like, oh, this is so funny, but then even you like go past and people are like, this is not okay, like like you're sharing this kid's artwork without their knowledge or their consent, like
I feel like I see a lot of accounts too where they might like put a smiley face over the kid's face or something, and even then it's like, you do know, like some people know, like, okay, they're wearing these clothes, like, you know that, like what they look like, so I feel like in general, like, I just feel like it's not really like, not I guess appropriate, but it depends on how far you're going with it, but I just think it's like can, there's a limit for sure.
I feel like if you're like sometimes questioning whether you should put something on social media or not, then the answer is probably no.
Yeah. So true.
So,
like, stand by.
Do you have another question? Okay. Yeah, I guess we could talk about how does one become a successful teacher influencer? I'm not one, so I don't really know, but but I think, honestly, you don't necessarily need to be successful in it. I think it's a lot just for you, honestly. Like, that just might make you happy. That's just something you like doing or whatever. But to get big. Yeah, I guess there's like funny content or something. Like that's how you kind of make it big. But I think you can be funny by yourself and not have to be like exploiting your kids or whatever, like in to try and make money off of them and stuff. But I think it's important to see like, okay, like kind of how you do that. So yeah.
Yeah.
And it's almost more important to try and build up a community of other teachers so you can like reach out to other people. Like it's more of a social network than it is like the influencers who are out there trying to get millions of dollars per sponsorship.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen these two girls on TikTok. They have like an account together and they're actually really cute, but they like, I guess it has nothing to do with actually teaching, but it's like outfits and stuff, which I guess could help because you can kind of like get what you're wearing and stuff. But then they'll like do fun dances and like TikTok dances and stuff. And they've kind of made it pretty big just by kind of doing that. And they're like cute or whatever. But then they also like will show, oh, this is like how we set up the classroom. And then I actually watched one of their videos and they each did it like at the beginning of the year of like how they set up the classroom and why they did certain things. And they were like, this is for our readers. And they're different grades. So it was cool to see like what they did similar because they've talked to each other, but also like what they did differently too. I think it's really cool as well.
And this is kind of off topic, but I just think it's like an important note. Just like throughout this class, things that we've talked about. I feel like as a teacher, you kind of already know that you're going into a profession where you have to make some sort of sacrifice. And although sometimes we might just have like the cutest student or the funniest student, we just want to like post them everywhere and share it. Like that's just something that, kind of like what Emma said, like if you really have to think about it, you're like, is this right? Is this not? Then it's a no.
For it's sure. No. Yeah,
for sure.
Do you
want to
read another?
Okay, do you want to talk about any of the, like, successful teacher influencers that you know or follow or want to share?
Let me just look it up really quick.
Yeah, so I feel like there's a few, or even just, like, little YouTube videos. I think if for anything that you're, like, looking up, you can honestly, like, find someone. And they usually have a lot of videos. Like, if you're like, how do I teach this or something? Like, they have it kind of ready and up and stuff. So that's cool.
Okay. I think the first person that comes to mind for me and who's been a really, like, positive influence is her Instagram handle is Mrs. Calls Campers. And she's a grade one teacher in Las Vegas. And I think it's like her third or fourth year teaching, but she just shares really interesting and creative resources. Like we used one of them for our mini math lesson.
Oh, cool.
And I talked about a couple of them in our, in like the learning object thing. Like she just has such creative ideas, but also like just shares a lot of the positive aspects of teaching, which is kind of tricky to find from teachers coming from the States these days.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, these the ones I was talking about just like before, like where they're showing their classroom and the two of them, they're called PB&J. I think that's literally their like initials, so I think that's cute. But yeah, they like show up and stuff, and I've never seen where they show anything of their kids at all or anything, and I think they've kind of made it pretty big, but they also show like some days they're tired. So like they usually do dances and they're very energetic, and one of them is like really hyper and crazy, but she's like so cute. And then it's like, but also some days they're like, we are tired, but that's just like normal. Like I feel like social media has such a powerful thing where it's like you only show the good, and I think that's like, it sucks because it's like, oh, everyone's so feeling so good all the time, but I think it's important to also show like, yeah, they're not always feeling really great or whatever.
And that was like, so the article I read had to do with like teacher burnout and teacher quit talk, and the influencer it talked about is actually one that I had just come across on Instagram or YouTube somewhere, TikTok maybe, and she has a, her name is Lauren Loudon, and she has a series called Why I'll Never Go Back. And
to teaching?
She's an ex-teacher.
Okay.
And she puts harsh realities of teaching into like comical skits and content where she like has like this fictionalized generalized student, and I think her name is like Susie, and like different experiences she has, she had with parents and like admin, and how that kind of pushed her away from it.
I think that's kind of like in that sense, it's okay because you're not a teacher anymore. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of like talk about your experiences and share it all because you're not a teacher anymore. But I think, yeah, there's definitely a boundary when you are a teacher.
But that kind of content is also really scary as a pre-service teacher because, like, if these people are so, and if it's been so bad that they've left teaching to become an influencer.
Exactly. It's kind of influencing you in a bad way. Almost. Like, it's not a great influence.
The article also went on to talk about how these teacher influencers or ex-teacher influencers aren't doing it to drive people away from it. They're just doing it to give a voice to the teachers and their circumstances who, like, are usually a lot of the times in the States nowadays, they're spoken for and, like, parents have a lot of opinions and, like, politics and stuff, whereas, like, teachers don't, a lot of the loud opinions about education doesn't actually come from the teachers, so it's trying to use it as a platform for that, but it's scary.
No, I feel that. This is a little bit farther removed from teacher influencers, but I've been watching this show on Prime called Abbott Elementary. And it is such a good show. And while I'm sure none of these actors or teachers, I feel like it actually depicts like life in an elementary school accurately. And I just watched an episode yesterday actually of like the classic, like really sweet, bubbly teacher absolutely just getting like reamed out by a parent. And it was actually like hard to watch because I'm sure it happens all the time and it's, you know, it's inevitable. But yeah, I think, to bring up Adriana's point, like, bringing in the negative, but also like giving a voice to people, I think is also really important.
To see the negatives, even if they're there. Okay, we're kind of wrapping up, but does anybody else have anything they want to say to end it-ish? Any last points? So, did you learn anything in this? Did we talk about anything, you know? No?
I think we had a really valuable conversation about drawing the boundaries if you're going to be a teacher influencer and like where your mind and intention should be with like creating a platform for yourself and not for your kids, and you don't want to exploit your kids. It's about your profession and you as a person, not,
and also not like exploiting your school too or your other teachers or anything. Just shouldn't have to be like respecting kind of everyone, and if you're gonna be an influencer, influence for good stuff.
Just a comment on that. There was one of the influencers who I was most just watched most of their videos. He was on YouTube, Daryl Williams Jr. He's now a former teacher, now a administrator in a school in North Carolina, I think. But his whole thing is like, it's like he's very much an influencer in the positive sense, in that he's just like very inspirational. He's like an inspirational speaker. He's sharing like useful tips about like classroom management and, you know, various and sundry other things, but he's always very, you know, charismatic and like encouraging, and you can get the sense of, you can imagine like sort of how he is with his kids. Of like there, and there's awesome. Some videos of him with kids. The kids aren't like actually in the video, but like you get a sense of like him just being like super encouraging. Like, you guys can do it. Yeah, we're all here to learn. And so anyway, and it does give me a feeling of like, oh, I want to be doing
that. Yeah, exactly. I know, even just like the decorating the classrooms and stuff. I'm so excited.
Yeah,
it's cool to see.
And then I guess also one thing to Adriana's point is also like just creating that own boundary for yourself to, like, you know, if you're at school all day, then you go home and you're on social media influencing, like, taking time for yourself and, like, shutting off from that, too, I guess, is probably, I don't know, because I'm not a teacher influencer, but I can understand that would be healthy, too.
Making sure it doesn't override your life. Okay. Awesome, guys. That was really good. Thanks for coming on the pod.